Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy primary day. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Who did you choose for mayor of New York, for New York City comptroller, for Manhattan DA, for borough president, for your local city council seat, or any other race on the ballot today? 646-435-7280, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And while your calls are coming in, joining us for a few minutes now, journalist Esse Olamense from the news organization City Limits. She was last here to talk about some of the most interesting races in Brooklyn this primary season. Today she is in the Bronx. Thanks for taking some time out for us, Esse. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for inviting me again.
Where are you right now and where have you been so far?
So I'm at the Emmett Bassett School. This is in the Southeast Bronx. I'm at a polling site here that the city actually has language assistance services in play here. So it's been nice to kind of see folks interface with that. There's a big Bengali community here, lots of folks from Bangladesh, Spanish speakers here as well. So it's a very diverse polling site. And earlier this morning, I was at Taft High School. I spent the morning there. That's at East 172nd and Sheridan in the West Bronx.
How's turnout?
Oh, that's a bit of a trickle. I can't say that we've seen, you know, the super long lines and the doors kind of being taken off the hinges for folks to vote, but there is a steady stream of folks coming in, and that's true. That was true at both sites.
Are you able to get a sense, Esse, of how big the crime and policing issue is to the voters you're speaking with, as opposed to anything else, if voters are talking to you about issues?
Yeah, so crime and policing are certainly things I've heard a lot of talk about this morning. So at the first site that I was at, that's Taft High School on Sheridan Avenue, which is one of the streets that the school is located on, there was a shooting not far from there not too long ago. This was last week, Thursday. Listeners may remember, you know, this was a man shooting at another man with two young kids who were standing behind him, who later had to kind of duck and dodge the bullets. So folks definitely thought a lot about that. Some poll workers and folks who were voting at the first site said that that was one of the factors that drove them to the polls and drove them to the polls at that hour in specific. They wanted to not be out late voting.
One of your recent articles is called New York City Spent Nearly $15 Million to Publicize Ranked Choice Voting. Some say it came too late. What's the issue there?
Yeah, so the city has really put a lot of money into this ranked choice voting education campaign. The mayor announced the $15 million initiative at the end of April. You know, critics of ranked choice voting criticized the timing of this, of course. You know, that doesn't leave us or didn't leave the city a whole lot of time to engage folks and show them sample ballots and tell them what the new system might be like. You know, one of the interesting quotes from the story is a pollster, you know, a consulting guy saying, you know, we voted on this in 2019, and then we expected a two-year education campaign that never came. The mayor has defended the timing. He says that it's organic, and it's something that, you know, occurred at the moment that folks were tuning into the race.
So how are you finding, with the voters you're talking to this morning, that ranked choice voting is going for them?
I think the folks who are the most engaged, the folks who are turning out, the folks who participated in early voting knew about this. There weren't folks here that seemed very confused by it. The city is also handing, or BOE is also handing out resources here in a number of different languages that kind of show you a sample ballot and then explain how the ranked choice process works.
And anything you've noticed, anything else you've noticed that you want to throw in that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, I mean, in the Bronx, you know, we have a really high population of young folks. According to the census, about a quarter of Bronx residents are under 18. So youth in schools are definitely something that are front of mind for voters. In addition to the mayoral race, I've seen a lot of support for Eric Adams here. You know, as long as crimes, you know, continues to dominate, The conversation, you know, Eric Adams, a former police captain, will speak with more authority. And I think folks seem to be very supportive of his policies. Lots of folks have criticized defunding the police here today, something that breaks with some of the thinking that we've seen pushed by progressives here. The Bronx Borough President's race is also something I would encourage folks to watch. We have the clash of council colleagues, Vanessa Gibson versus, you know, Fernando Cabrera. They're in a kind of adjoining districts. And we may see the first woman elected, of course, not right away with the ranked choice absentee and affidavit ballot counting that still needs to happen. But we may see the first woman elected to, you know, the office of Bronx Borough President.
We talked a little bit about the crime issue, and you just brought it up again. What about other things? You know, I've been a little bit surprised by how much it has dominated the media, not that it isn't real, not that it isn't vitally important, but dominated the candidates' choices about what to talk about over the end game weeks of the campaign, and also the media coverage. I guess that kind of follows the candidates. But, you know, inequality is such a huge issue in the city. There's jobs. There are other kinds of things. Is it your impression that almost everything is taking a back seat in voters' minds to crime?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, of course, I haven't interviewed every voter. I would say that COVID recovery, youth, schools, and crime seem to be the biggest themes.
Esse Olumense, reporter for City Limits. Thanks a lot for checking in with us from the Bronx.
Thank you so much.
And now back to your calls on our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. And Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I voted for Catherine Garcia based on her experience and the fact that while mayors and mayoral candidates tend to suck a lot of the air out of the room, they're actually the boss to 300-some thousand employees in the city who are actually doing the work on the ground, especially when talking about crime, which was just mentioned. It's not just the PD, it's the Department of Education, it's the economic development programs, it's the cleanliness of the streets and activity in the streets, all that matters. And you need someone who understands the scope of the problem as well as how to solve that, which is not any one lever.
Who'd you vote for second?
I voted for Wiley. I'm quite left. I think she's less tested, but, you know, I went with the group.
Yeah. And well, some people would say Catherine Garcia was not a vote for someone who's quite left. Did you mull that over?
Yeah, but I believe, of course I did. Yeah, I believe in her ability to manage and the bureaucracy, which is big. And a lot of the resources in the past year have been overexhausted, mostly meaning people and money. And the fact that we need someone who can really hit the ground running day one. Scott Stringer, I think, is also probably most qualified in that regard.
Ed, thank you very much for your call. Happy primary day. And Lisa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lisa.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I voted for mayor for Scott Stringer, and I didn't rank anybody else. I think Stringer is very competent. He knows government. He understands how things work. And the other people, I was thinking of ranking Garcia and Eric Adams, but I got very annoyed at, I don't like charter schools, so that was going to rule them out eventually, I guess. And I was very annoyed when Garcia caved in on the harassment charges against Stringer, which I think are a hit job.
Meaning that she called for him to drop out of the race.
Yeah, and the others who all called for him to drop out. I really wonder who Jean Kim might be plugged into and why she suddenly popped up with this and the other one. I just didn't fall for it.
And
I didn't rank any of the others. I mean, I want him to win. I think he is the most capable and competent.
Did you vote for Manhattan DA?
Yeah, I hadn't made my mind up as I walked to the polling place on Friday. I was going back and forth between Liz Crotty and Alvin Bragg, and I finally voted for Crotty.
What tipped you over to her column?
I can't even tell you. I think she's very competent from what I've known of her. And I think she'll be good at it. I think Bragg would be too, and it was a very painful decision. That was the one race I really wish I could have ranked.
And that's the one you couldn't. Lisa, thank you so much for checking in with us. We really appreciate it. Maura in Forest Hills. You're on WNYC. Hi, Maura.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much. I love your show.
Thank you. Who'd you vote for mayor?
I voted for Maya Wiley as my first choice and Catherine Garcia for my second.
Why'd you pick Maya Wiley first?
I really want to see a woman in the office, and I'd like a progressive person, and I was really torn between whether to go with Garcia first or Wiley, and I decided that Wiley is a bit more progressive, but I also value Garcia's experience as well. So I think we have some good options for mayor in the two of them, so that's great.
How was your ranked choice voting experience?
It was pretty good. Can I pass along a tip related to that for those
Sure.
who will be using the ballot marking device?
You bet.
So for anybody who is using it, using the ballot marking device with speech enabled so that it will read aloud your ballot, I was a little surprised that when you vote for your first choice for mayor, it says you have completely voted this contest. And I must say, I thought like, oh no, how do I? And then I thought, well, let me just see what happens if I move to the next contest. And the next contest is the next choice rather than the next race, so to speak. So I was a little surprised by that. And so I just thought, in case others are voting with the ballot marking device, that it might help to be aware of that. So don't worry that you will have the option to rank the choices. It's just the wording is a little bit different than I would have expected.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad choice of words. If they say go on to the next contest, it sounds like it would be the next election, but it's really the contest for who you're going to rank second.
Yes. Exactly. And when you get there, it does say something like mayoral choice two. So once you do that, you realize, oh, okay, now I get how it's doing it. But it would really be helpful if in the resources, if information about how the ballot marking device works would be included. And I don't think at any polling place, the Board of Elections was distributing any resources in Braille, which is surprising, maybe not surprising. And I would just say also to anybody, persevere in the ballot marking device. I often have had experiences where it's not set up, it's not ready. The person who knows how to use it, you know, the staff person who knows how to use it is not there. But I had a very good experience at my polling place, my early voting polling place this time, a much better experience than I've ever had at my regular polling place. So hopefully after all these years of having accessible voting, maybe we're finally getting to where people know how to use it and it's set up from the beginning. I've often had people at the polls tell me that it's not set up yet, even when I have arrived later than, you know, the 6 a.m. start. And their response has been that nobody has wanted to use it, so they didn't set it up in time. But of course, it's a vicious cycle. You know, if it's not set up, people may not be able to use it because they can't wait around for 45 minutes to an hour for it to actually get set up.
Right.
So, you know, I think hopefully we're getting better at this.
Maura, thank you
yeah.
so much for checking in with us and for all of that. Really appreciate it. And Jay in Lower Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay. Who'd you vote for mayor?
Brian, I love the show. Eric Adams, Eric all the way. And the reason why is because he's had so much experience providing constituent services in state and in government, and I know he does a very good job with it. And that's very different. That's a very different kind of competency, like the previous caller was talking about with Garcia. What her empathy, and my sense of her, is that she's very empathetic with sort of the bureaucratic process. What I think you'd get with a Garcia administration is sort of a cross between Bloomberg and de Blasio in terms of a 311 system that everyone goes through, and there really isn't any effort to be really concerned with constituents and how to help them on a personal, individualized way. And I think that Eric Adams, in all his offices, has always had a really excellent, robust constituent service infrastructure, and that's the kind of competency I want in a mayor. I don't want someone who, tickets me really well when there's garbage in front of my house or something like that. The other races that I did want to mention, Mark Levine did such an important and fantastic job during the COVID epidemic as health chair. I really think he earned the borough presidency. Brad Hoylman is smart also. But Mark really did a fantastic job for our communities. And I also wanted to mention District 1, Jenny Lowe, who is just the most fantastic, wonderful candidate. I think she is endorsed by just about every elected official except for Margaret Chin, who's the outgoing council person there, who is a very polarizing figure. She's endorsed by just about every union and local clubs and local leaders and neighborhood groups as well. It's an interesting race because you have several Chinese American candidates running for a district that was originally designed to be a Chinese representation because it includes Chinatown, and you have to worry about the different Chinese candidates diluting the vote. Of course, ranked choice voting may change that. But really, I hope that everyone who lives in Lower Manhattan is ranking Jenny Lowe because she really is a fantastic candidate.
One other thing about your first choice vote for Eric Adams. Some people who are turned off by him don't like how hardcore he seems on policing. And, you know, we talked to him yesterday on the show, and he was explaining how the way he sees it, he's not really bringing back stop and frisk. He wouldn't put it that way. He's not bringing back the anti-crime unit in the way that was abusive in the past. But he thinks some kind of plainclothes anti-gun unit is important. But other people see him as not police reformist enough. Did you consider that? Because it sounds like most of your reasons for choosing Adams had to do with other things. So I'm just curious, because crime has been so much in the news and police reform, and that they get counterposed against each other, you know, in a lot of the framings, if that was an issue for you one way or the other.
I did think about that. Eric Adams, from what I've heard, has made it very clear that he takes a nuanced approach to policing because he was a police officer. I mean, we have a terrible situation in Washington Square Park and other and just in street crime in general and quality of life crime in Lower Manhattan. And I don't want someone who goes to one extreme or the other in terms of how to deal with it. I want someone who looks at it and tries to take apart the problem and really solve it. So I think a former police officer should be qualified to do that. But I also think he's someone who took on the police department from within when there were abuses, when he was aware of abuses either in their internal policies towards officers or when in terms of how they policed communities of color. My family is mixed race, and I certainly would not vote for someone if I thought it was going to lead to abuses. I think that this is someone who knows how police officers think. And when I talk about empathy with bureaucrats, I'd much rather have a mayor with empathy for constituents and empathy for police officers, so you can get them to do their job properly with positive reinforcement, than someone who has empathy for bureaucracy.
Jay, thank you for your call. We really appreciate it. We'll continue in a minute with our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Who did you choose for mayor of New York or in any other race? Quick note, if anybody's interested in seeing me on TV later, I'll be a guest of Christiane Amanpour. That'll be on Channel 13 at 4 o'clock this afternoon, talking about the primary. Christine Quinn will be the other guest, the former city council speaker. So Christine and Christiane and me at 4 o'clock on Channel 13 today. Before we go back to the phones, a thought about turnout, just for some context. A turnout of at least 800,000 people would be considered good, according to most experts. Over a million, very good, in the New York City mayoral primary. As a point of comparison, in 2013, the last competitive mayoral primary, about 700,000 people voted. That was 22% of registered Democrats in that primary, which was about average by historical standards, 22% turnout of registered Democrats. But that shows how pathetic turnout in primaries is generally, right? Just 22% is really awful when you think about it. In the Republican primary that year, 2013, only 12% of the registered Republicans actually voted, and that was only 60,000 votes out of the 470,000 or so registered Republicans in the city in 2013, according to the New York Times. Democrats, don't forget, have about a 6-to-1 or 7-to-1 registration advantage in the city. So we'll see what happens today in each party and whether massive voter turnout for last year's presidential election translates into people being engaged and showing up, or maybe people being apathetic because they don't have anyone as polarizing or life-changing as Donald Trump to vote for or against. More than 100,000 absentee ballots that people requested are still out there as of a day or two ago, according to what I've seen reported. We'll see if people do return those extra 100,000 plus, and we'll see how much the easing of the pandemic results in election day of turnout today. But in any case, 25% turnout of registered voters is less than 5% of all New York City residents. So only an activated few New Yorkers of the eligible age and citizenship status actually choose our mayor. So I thought you'd be interested in a little background on turnout in that respect. Robert in Hell's Kitchen, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert. Who'd you vote for mayor?
I voted for Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang first, and who second?
Catherine Garcia.
Did that have anything to do with their campaigning together recently, or had you already made that choice?
I had made that choice actually already. I actually had Catherine Garcia first, but then I decided to change it to Andrew Yang because I thought he was, I just really liked what he was saying. But what I wanted to say was that when I went to vote this morning, I actually went to the voting place, and I'm fully vaccinated. I am not anti-mask, whatever. But when I got there, I had forgotten my mask, so I just literally had just walked out the door. It's really on the same block. And they wouldn't let me vote. They said, no, you have to wear a mask. And then I was like, do you have a mask? And they wouldn't give me one. So I had to go back to my house and get one and come back. And so, yeah, I was like, this is really weird.
Well, for one thing, it's a good thing to remind people of, even if you're not wearing masks anymore in, you know, various environments, I guess they are requiring them inside the polling places. That's one thing to take away from your call. That's correct, right?
I was very unsure because I was like, I didn't think that it was a thing.
Yeah. And, you know, you can, it doesn't sound like you were happy about it, but you can understand it, right? You're going into mixed company.
Oh, I totally understand it. No, totally get it. But it's just, I feel like it's like, it would end up hurting people from voting because, like, they, when they, maybe they go there and that's their only time to go vote and yes. they don't have a mask and, yes. you know, that's what I'm saying.
I thought I had heard something last week about masks being available for handing out during early voting at the sites. Maybe I got that wrong, but obviously they didn't have them at your polling place today. Tell us a little bit more about your choices. Why Andrew Yang? Why Catherine Garcia?
Well, I at first I thought of Catherine Garcia as like the first choice because I thought that she had a really pragmatic approach to like the city. But then when I was listening to Andrew Yang, I just really felt like he really loved the city. Like he just has like this really good idea. I'm certainly not a super progressive. I'm like very centrist person. So I just thought like that he was, you know, not only does he have New York City in his mind, but he, like, knows what to do with it. So that's why I put him first and Catherine Garcia second. And now, I would be happy with either one of them.
What do you say to the critics who said, well, Andrew Yang doesn't historically have New York City in his mind all that much? He hasn't previously voted in a mayoral election, according to the records that got revealed. When the pandemic started, he decamped to New Paltz. Did those things cross your mind at all, or did you dismiss them for certain reasons?
And it's funny you ask that, because I literally have lived in New York City for almost 20 years, and I don't vote in every election. I just don't, because I don't really, I'm not that in tuned with it as much. And also, like, I think that he was just a good, I think he just has good ideas.
When you say good ideas, I'm curious, because I'm asking a lot of people this question about how much crime and policing was at the top of your issue list versus other things. What was that like for you? And were there certain ideas that Yang had that you thought jumped out for you on issues that you really care about?
Yes, totally. It's because, like, there's, like, the idea of defund the police really is, like, totally against me. Like, I really feel like we need to actually support the NYPD, but also, like, I don't think that we need to, like, go hardcore, like, Republican into the police. So that's why I liked him. I felt like he was, like, that even keel between Eric Adams and Maya Wiley. He was, like, the middle ground, and I really liked that.
Robert, thanks for checking in with us. We really, really appreciate it. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. One more call for now, then we're going to get the latest news from Michael Hill. Katie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katie.
I voted for Paperboy as my first choice.
Paperboy Prince. Some people have heard of him. Some people haven't. Give people Paperboy Prince 101.
So I've been following him since last summer. I actually voted for him in the District 7 primary last summer. He was on the ballot. He said, you know, he has this message of love. I've been pretty impressed with him. He's given away over $2.5 million of food since the pandemic started. He actually is a very capable person. He got himself on the ballot in the district primary last year, won an appeal all on his own. He was initially rejected from the ballot. And I like that he's out there with this alternative message of how we can run the city in a different way. I don't necessarily think he's going to win the mayor race today, but I wanted to just show some support and say, like, it's not all about, I'm not worried about the crime so much as I am worried about the police. And, you know, that's where I am.
And if you voted for someone who you don't think has an actual chance to win first, did you rank somebody who you do think has an actual chance to win second?
Yes, I ranked Maya Wiley second.
Katie, thank you so much. We appreciate your call. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll continues. We've got a couple of special guests coming up as well after the news and more of your calls. Right now, it is time for the latest news with Michael Hill.